and welcome to the WDIY 88.1 Teen Money Matters podcast. I'm your host, Eliza Moore, and today Amy and I are going to be talking about volunteering, entrepreneurship, and building a resume as a high school student. To start, tell us about yourself, Amy.
Hi, my name is Amy. I'm a senior at Freedom High School, and along with that, I've been a student at Bethlehem Vo-Technical School for the last 4 years, actually, instead of three, which is what the most common people do. And I love to hang out with people and just be involved.
Very exciting. So you're a student at the Vo-Tech school. What are you studying there?
Cosmetology.
Interesting. So tell me about the process, what it's like to learn cosmetology and how that prepares you for your career goals as a student.
Cosmetology, it's one of the more popular programs we have at Vo-Tech. We actually have to cap it at a certain number, so there's only a limited spots available. There's 25 in the morning, 25 in the afternoon, and I love it. I've been doing it for the past 3 years, and there's different levels to it. So once you get older, you learn more and more stuff, so it's not like you're repeating the same stuff. You just learn the basics, the fundamentals. It's such a great head start because usually at Vo-Tech, you only pay $75, but the only reason like that's for is because if they give you all of your kit, so you have all of your tools, the curriculum where you learn, and the mannequins which we practice on, and that's $75 just once a year, compared to like outside schools where you pay like almost like $5,000 for 1 year.
Yeah, so I was just gonna mention like private beauty schools can cost a lot of money. So Vo-Tech only costs $75 a year for the cosmetology program.
That's $75 for all 3 years, so only once.
Wow. So you're getting, how much of a head start are you getting compared to going to like a private beauty school after high school?
I would say a lot, because not only are you still learning things, but you're growing as you learn. So a lot of the girls, like we also have like normal school. So like on top of that, like we're applying so many of the skills we learn at school with cosmetology. And like, there's just, we learn so much.
Right. And how long does a typical like cosmetology program take if it was outside of after high school?
Outside, it could take up to 2 years. The longest would be three. So it's quite literally the same as how we do at Vo-Tech. It's just, we just get so much more of an advantage because we're like all learning at the same time. We're all on the same pace, and the levels like help distribute us.
Right. And you're learning, you're getting your high school education on top of the cosmetology education. Wow. Awesome. So you spend $75, and does that go to, that goes to like tools and your equipment that you use?
Yeah. Once like you finish the 3 years, all of the tools, all your equipment, they're yours.
Oh,
like you
awesome.
Can keep it. So even if you don't decide to do cosmetology as a career, you have all of those things just for you. And like, those are all your things. And it's the perfect starter tool for like anyone who wants to continue.
So like spending, you know, that bit of money on your tools and equipment, does that make you feel a little more invested in your own education?
Yeah, definitely, because now, like, a lot of us know, like, we pay for our education and we're putting a foot forward for our education. And it's, like, for most of us go to public school, so, like, we're not used to paying for our education. We actually are, like, very much held accountable because we put that money forward. So, and that money was, like, saying that we are dedicated to this and, like, it's kind of preparing you for college because, like, college, obviously, you pay for that. But, like, now you know what it's like to pay for your education, too.
Right. You're invested and you want to get your money's worth. So the end goal with cosmetology school is getting a license. So how much of your training is about, like, styling versus, like, the science and the different, you know, sanitation, chemistry that you need for state board exams?
So we kind of do, like, a sandwich method. So the first year you learn all the basics, and that, like, includes a lot of sanitation. Like, we're very heavy on sanitation and just like all the really big basics. And then your second year, so your level two, you will learn like the more like funner thing, like quote unquote funner things. So the highlights, the colors, the acrylics, like all like the fun stuff. And then once you're level three, so typically seniors, because you're preparing for your state board, like our teacher really likes to like loop back to what we learned our like first year. So when you were level one, so we learn how to, like, we go over the basic haircuts, but now it's timed. Now she expects us to do more because we've had those 2 years of experience.
Right. And so when do you plan on, you know, testing for your state boards?
At Vo-Tech, there's something called NOCTI, which is, like, our practical. So around the end of the year. So I'd say like early to mid-May. It really depends. We have the practical version, which is where we're doing our hands-on, and then the written, which is where like they have the questions about like sanitation and like all the things we've learned.
Right. And then after that, you'll be licensed as a hairstylist.
Yeah, that's like an official license.
Cool. So do you plan to attend college after going through VoTech?
I do. I do. I plan to attend it because I want to further my education. But I think a lot of kids actually, contrary to popular opinion, that like trade school, like it's one and done. A lot of kids want to continue their education after trade school.
And do you plan on, you know, working as a hairstylist or in cosmetology as like a side job to help you pay for that?
Yeah, so that's actually my exact plan because obviously like we all know college is really expensive and all the things. So it's not only like a backup plan, it's like going to be funding me through the school because that license, it's the official like PA state board license. So like I can do so much with that, like not even just hairstyling. So like that's like an official like license that like when I go to apply to jobs, they need someone licensed. Like that's me. Like I have that even though I'm only 19, not even 18 years old yet. I have that license because I'll get it when I'm 17. So this next year.
Awesome. So when you are working on cosmetology, are you using like Instagram or TikTok to build some sort of like digital portfolio while you're in school?
Yeah. So we have a portfolio like VoTech, like they really like to have like a portfolio so like people can reach out. But a lot of the girls in the class, and I say girls, but anyone can do cosmetology, but my class currently is just girls. A lot of the girls, we have like additional, we have social medias, we have Instagram. Almost everyone has an Instagram account. And more than two right now have had salons reach out through their Instagram because hashtags and everything. And they said, hey, we're really interested in you. I think like I said, more than two people have had salons reach out to them. Talk like, and they really like it. So a lot of us have like Instagrams or like me myself, like I have one, I promote, I try to record as much as possible. And it's not only like to get salons, it's to see your personal growth. Cause I have pictures from like my first year and it's crazy to see and like
how
my time has like lessened.
What are some other like skills that you've learned through VoTech that can be helpful in like any career or different areas other than just cosmetology?
I would say the big main one is communication because we have on Tuesdays and Fridays, we have something called clinic, which is where outside people actually come in and like it functions like a real salon. So like we have to really work on that communication of like, what do you want and what do you expect from me as a stylist to do and how can I do that? Like you have to have that clear communication because if someone asks for like a long haircut and you give them a bob or like really short hair by accident, you know, that's just really bad communication. And in school, I'm part of the debate team. And a lot of the times, like, I see that clear communication on, like, with my teammates. I'm like, okay, so this is our goal that we have to debate, and this is how we have to win. And that clear communication comes into play, because if it's not, then we have the risk of losing a debate.
Definitely, yeah. I'm really glad that you mentioned that. So the skills like communication and other skills that you're learning, are those useful when you are, you know, volunteering or fulfilling, like, a volunteering requirement?
Yes, because in cosmetology, you're kind of like selling yourself as like the best artist. You're like, I am like the best one who can perform this skill the best and like I'm better than a lot of the people. So for volunteering, it's like, why am I the best one who can execute this job? And you're kind of like putting yourself out there and you're like, hey, I'm the best because I can do this the best and I know all the skills to do that.
Right. So you would say like learning at VoTech, part of your education is like employability, like how you're going to be employable. And that makes you like a more dedicated volunteer. Yeah.
We also have like a lot of our workbook, not even like the hands-on skills, but like a lot of our workbook too. We have like at least three chapters on like how to communicate with people and how to have that like one-on-one conversation that's meaningful.
Awesome. Yeah. And what kind of organizations have you volunteered with?
I do a lot of through the school, and then the biggest one I'd say is through the Special Olympics. And through that, like, you know, you have to have clear communication because there's so many events going on at once that if you don't have that, like, you can get really tangled up with your partner and it can just get really bad.
Yeah, definitely. So do you look at volunteering more as like fulfilling the requirement to graduate, or do you try to like build on the skills that you're learning at VoTech and gain experience that you can use in further careers? Mm-hmm.
Personally, I've never seen volunteering as like a hassle because like for school, we're required to have volunteering hours. I actually really enjoy volunteering. I think it's fun because it's something you have to do throughout your whole life because you're always going to have to do things that like technically like you're not going to get any profit out of. But like it's something that you do out of the goodness of your heart. So, like, even though I've already, like, fulfilled the requirement to graduate, I still, like, do hours even as a senior because I think it's just, like, beneficial. And if you get really good volunteering opportunities, like, I know St. Luke's, you can volunteer there as, like, someone in the front desk, but that, like, puts you in that hospital environment. So, like, I think volunteering is just a great thing overall, and I don't see it as, like, a hassle. I think it's just, like, really something really fun to do.
Definitely. I think that's a really great perspective, and I feel the same way. Mm-hmm. Like, even as a senior, after fulfilling my graduation requirement, I find that there's always new, you know, organizations and activities that I can do that can teach me different mm-hmm. things that might help me going forward in college or my careers and et cetera.
Yeah, because volunteering, it's not just, like, doing work. It's also giving you experience at that same time.
Right. So even if you aren't getting paid for your hours, what are some ways that you feel like you're getting paid other than money through volunteering?
I would say just the growth in our skills, because before, like, when you first start, you're, like, so nervous. Like, I remember doing my first haircut, I was so nervous, or just, like, any type of service, like, especially timing, like a roller set. It used to take, like, we used to do two classes, like, we'd split it up, but now I can do, like, a roller set in, like, 30 minutes. I'm doing haircuts that I never thought I'd be able to do. I've done it on multiple people. They're like, hey, can you cut my hair outside of class? And I'm like, yeah, I got you. And I have that confidence now. And I think that confidence is so much more valuable than anything, because in life, you need that confidence to do so much. If you don't have that confidence, then that doesn't set you apart from anyone. You need that confidence so people see that you're the right person for a job, or you're the right person that I trust to do this skill. So, and seeing that growth within yourself, and you know that you can do better and that you have done better because you've seen how much you've grown since the beginning.
Awesome. Yeah. So has volunteering, you know, exposed you to maybe other career areas you've wanted to pursue, or has it made you maybe more interested in cosmetology?
It definitely, like, allowed me to see other areas too, because since I volunteer at schools a lot, I really see, like, how much love and affection, like, anyone, like, school boards put in, and, like, anyone who works in the school faculty. And for a while, for, like, a good solid year, I was, the thought of being, like, a teacher, like, it was lingering in my mind, because I was like, they have so much, like, love and dedication for what they do. And it kind of reminded me of cosmetology, because, like, a lot of us, we have so much love for the art, and we just want to, like, make everyone, like, feel the best and look the best they can. And, like, it reminded me of teachers. Like, teachers are always trying to have their students, like, feel the best they can, and while giving them an education.
Yeah, definitely. I think volunteering is one of the best ways to explore mm-hmm. different careers, because, you know, it's kind of a lower commitment usually. You're just going mm-hmm. one or two times, but you can experience a lot of different things and try a lot of different areas. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really helpful, especially as, like, we're preparing to apply for college and figure out what we want to do. Yeah.
And we see, like, being a teacher, I was like, okay, well, I could be a teacher in just a normal school, but then it also opened up the perspective of having an end goal of becoming a cosmetology teacher. Like how my instructor is, because she's been just so helpful. And I was like, that's the best of both worlds that I can do. So it's still like an option in the back of my mind. If I'm like, as I'm working through college, if I really love cosmetology, like I can do the best of both worlds. I can be an instructor while still like doing and being in the world that I love.
Yeah, that's so awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to join me today, Amy. My name is Eliza, and thank you for listening to WDIY 88.1 Teen Money Matters. We'll be back after a short break.
WDIY presents a selection of award-winning podcasts that air weeknights from 6 to 7 p.m. Listen to important conversations regarding art, science, business, health, and more here in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Check our website for new topics and archived programs. WDIY podcasts are on 88.1 FM, streaming at wdiy.org, on the app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, and welcome back to the WDIY 88.1 Teen Money Matters podcast. I'm your host, Eliza Moore, and today I'm back with Rosemary Reggie, a senior in high school. Oftentimes, we talk about managing one's personal finances, but today we're going to discuss the importance of fundraising and volunteering when it comes to financial literacy. To start, Rosemary, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, so my name is Rosemary. I'm a senior at Freedom High School, and at Freedom, I'm a part of our band, orchestra, and theater, and student council, and then on top of that, I go to VOTech, where I take a Med Academy class, and I was introduced to Blood Cancer United and was able to join as a candidate for raising money.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the process for raising money through Blood Cancer United.
So earlier this year, it was like September, one of the people from Blood Cancer United came to us and talked to our class and said that this was something that was going on. And me and one of my friends, who is now my co-candidate, Kate Assad, we both were very interested, and we decided that we wanted to be the co-candidates for the Lehigh Valley area, or at least one of them. We're one of 16 teams right now, and they just told us about what their job is, what they're trying to fundraise for, and what their goal is with everyone, and how they want to help patient lives and help fund money for research. And so Kate and I decided that this was our time to take this task, and we have been dedicating the last 2 months to raising money for it.
Awesome. Yeah. What's your big goal for the entire fundraising campaign?
So together we are trying to get at least 20,000, if not more, but that's our main goal right now.
Wow. And where are you at now?
We're at about roughly 4,000, and wow. Campaign ends in 4 weeks.
Well, it seems doable. It seems like you're off to a good start. So what was something really specific that made you say, oh, I want to raise money for this cause? I want to really, you know, do this and fundraise for this cause.
We decided that there was no reason not to. It was just something that was, we were told about it, and we said that we had no, like, we were just thinking, like, there's no reason not to do it. Like, it's something that's fun to do, and it was something that we enjoyed, because we both are really looking into going into medicine, and on top of this, we were able to learn about just blood cancer as a whole, and that's really, it's like, an intriguing topic, and as, a, like, devastating it is to know that this is such, like, a big impact on our world, we're, like, bettering ourselves by learning about it and helping others, because there's people, like, the patients that are struggling with it can't advocate for themselves, so knowing that we can do it for them makes us feel better about it and makes us feel like we're doing something.
Yeah, awesome. So it's definitely a little bit career oriented.
Yes.
Looking towards the future. Awesome. Why have you chosen, you know, fundraising over maybe like volunteering for blood cancer, volunteering with different organizations? Why have you chosen like to do a campaign and really fundraise instead of just volunteer your time?
Well, so me and Kate have volunteered in the past. I used to volunteer at St. Luke's, and I've had like over 100 hours with them. And so as much as I love that experience was great for me. It showed me so much about the hospital and just the healthcare field in general. This was kind of just another step in the direction of like learning more about it, because when you're fundraising, it also makes you build connections with a lot of people. A lot of this fundraising campaign has been reaching out to people that we know, talking to people that we have contacts with, and like building that relationship with other people helps us like just in general build like our portfolio and learning more about like what we are interested in, because we are able to get input from other people.
Yeah, definitely. So it's kind of building on top of the volunteer experience. Yeah. Like it's in addition to that. Awesome. As a student, how do you kind of keep yourself motivated to fundraise and volunteer when you aren't being paid and you've already, you know, fulfilled your requirement for graduation and volunteering hours? Like, what really motivates you?
I think definitely our goals, because every week, since we're in the middle of our campaign right now, we've had challenges released every week. So there's always like a $25 challenge. Like if you get $25 this week, you'll have a ticket to like the grand finale. Because at the end of the campaign, we have a big event where we get to showcase all the money we've fundraised. And so just having those goals throughout the whole process is making it a lot easier. Because then like it seems very overwhelming at first, because $20,000 is a lot of money. But when you have a certain goal set for each week of like what you want each team member to raise, what you want to raise, who you want to contact, it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, definitely. So what are some of like the startup costs that you had to start with when you, did you have to put any money in or have any startup costs when you started the campaign?
We didn't have to do anything. It was just time, a lot of it at first. The first step was reaching out to people. We spent at least 6 hours writing letters to everyone that we could possibly think about. And that was the most that we've ever done. Like there was nothing that we had to do money-wise. It was just a lot of like writing and reaching out.
So it's mostly just time?
Yeah.
Is there any, like, unexpected aspect of fundraising that you didn't really think about before you started?
I definitely say, like, communicating was a lot harder than we thought it would be, because even though these people are, like, the closest people that are in your lives, when it comes to giving money to certain causes, some people just don't respond or don't, like, just they ghost you. Like, you can send them a message and they never respond to you. So, like, just finding a way to communicate to other people respectfully and, like, still getting something through.
Yeah, definitely. And that's helpful, you know, for a variety of different areas as well. So you're earning that skill on top of doing, you know, the fundraising for a good cause. So in a world that's becoming cashless, how do you handle donations? Like Venmo, GoFundMe, or are you doing like cash as well?
So we have a fundraising page for every single team member, and then we have a team fundraising page, and it's found online. We have QR codes in a lot of places. We've sent out our QR codes, and the way that we've done it is that we just sent our link to people where there's a donate button at the bottom. But also we've been at events like basketball games and like at grocery stores and stuff, and we'll just have our QR code, and we also accept cash and check because we can then put that in ourselves.
Yeah, awesome. So how do you keep track of your donations to ensure everything gets to where it's supposed to be?
So there's a website that tracks every person who donates and how much money they do it and when they do it, what time, and like how they did it. So we have like a receipt of everyone that's done it.
Oh, so it really makes it simple and easy for you to keep track of everything, because that's super important when you're running an event like this, right?
Insanely, when you're raising that much money too.
Right. Uh-huh. So how do you balance the time you spend volunteering and fundraising against your schoolwork and your social commitments? So maybe like your extracurricular commitments and your homework.
I say I just balance it pretty well by just like I always set aside at least for the past 4 weeks, we've been at least setting aside like an hour. We have like weekly check-ins every Sunday. So there's always like a guaranteed day where we're just spending like a good few hours just going through everything for this campaign. And then we don't really like think about it. So like since we're actively in campaign, there's not much to do besides just fundraise money and have people donate. Before like campaign kicked off, it was a lot of just planning things out. So there wasn't much to balance with it on top of school, but we would always like set aside the Sunday to make sure we had everything ready for the week.
Yeah. And what kind of events have you, you know, organized or done around the community?
We had a Dine to Donate, and then we went to some of the basketball games where we sat and we had our poster up, and then we are in the process of going to grocery stores, and that's kind of just been our main like goal so far.
Yeah. And is there a lot of communication that comes in with having to plan those sort of events, or is it pretty simple?
A little bit. It's more on just getting the receiving end, like people that we are setting it up with to be okay with what we're doing and responding back. But like on our team wise, we're all pretty like understanding of each other and are really willing to work with each other.
Yeah. Awesome. So have you approached, you know, local businesses to help out with your cause through sponsorship or like other events?
Yeah. So one day, actually, me and Kate, like 2 weeks ago, we went around all of downtown Bethlehem and we went to like almost all the small businesses and just like the companies down there in general and asked like if they want to do a corporate sponsorship or do an ad in our program. And like we just were asking everyone.
Awesome. So do you get a little bit of, you know, is that difficult? Maybe there's a little anxiety with just going up to strangers and businesses and asking?
A little bit, but I've also been doing this for the past 4 years because of theater. So like I was used to it, and Kate is a very outgoing person, so it wasn't anything crazy for us.
Right. So you're using skills from other areas to help you out. Yeah. So how do you handle when maybe a business or a person turns you down? Because that can be a little upsetting.
It's a little upsetting, but we knew that like people were going to say no. Like, it wasn't like we expected everyone to say yes. And so, like, we just, like, said thank you for listening to us in the first place. And, like, a lot of times, even though if they said no, we left them the paper about our story and, like, why we're doing it just so they can, like, get to know about it. So, like, we weren't really ever hurt about anyone saying no.
Yeah, and it's a part of the process, too, right? So do you offer, like, prizes or perks for donors that maybe give them a little extra motivation?
Not for, like, small donors, but I know at the grand finale we have, like, whoever raises, like, sponsorship-wise, like, corporate-wise, whoever raises the most money does get, like, stuff in return and, like, gets their business showed off and, like, they get to have, like, stuff at the grand finale itself. But besides that, not really.
Okay. So it's more, you know, you're explaining the cause, you're explaining blood cancer and trying to motivate people to donate that way. Awesome. So has managing a fundraiser changed the way you look at managing your own money in any way?
In a sense, yes, because donating means that people are going to either donate you like $5 or up to like $500 or even more. So like in a sense, it just put me in my mindset thinking like, oh, if this was me donating, like how would I spend my money? Like how would I, like, it's just like a way to like just think about like how expensive things can be and like how you don't want to expect so much from someone, and like you want to just like be thankful for what we have and just like understand that money is money no matter what.
Right. And definitely since $20,000 is probably a lot more money than I've ever personally had in my life.
Me too.
I think it would probably show me that, like, every dollar really does count, even though that's a humongous number.
No, like, especially because I've had donations where it's $5, but, like, $5 donations add up pretty quick, and, like, the small ones still matter.
Right, so that would kind of make me think about, you know, like, small purchases. Like, like, you know, a coffee here and a coffee there.
It gets expensive.
It gets expensive quickly, So with so many organizations out there, what was your process for, you know, researching a charity or ensuring that the organization you're working with is actually going to use the money that you're raising effectively?
We actually had this talk when we first started doing this, but because blood cancer was formerly known as Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and like I knew people that like worked with them personally, and I know people that have like struggled with this, and so I knew it was a trustworthy source because I've had that personal connection. And also a lot of our friends, this isn't the first year that, like, this is the first year we did it, but a lot of our friends did it in the past, so we knew that this was going to something good and it wasn't just a scam.
Right, because when you're raising that much money and you're dedicating that much time, you definitely want to make sure it's going to the right place. Yeah.
And on top of that, like, at the start of campaign, we got to hear from people that actually got helped by this, like, organization. Like, they came to talk to us about, like, their story with cancer and then how, like, Blood Cancer United helped fund and, like, give them money.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely. I think a first person account would help. So once the event or, you know, once somebody makes a donation, once that's done, how do you kind of connect with them or close the loop to make sure that they feel like their money actually made a difference?
So we've been sending thank yous to, because we get, since we know everyone that donates, unless they put them as anonymous, we've been sending thank yous back to everyone that has donated or just like giving them like appreciation and showing that we care and that we saw their donation.
Awesome. So is that done through like email, digitally, or in person?
However we can contact them. If we know them more personal, by text or like in person or just like however we can do it.
So that takes a little bit of time as well. Yeah. Awesome. After seeing, you know, maybe some parts of how difficult it can be to raise money for a good cause, does it make you kind of consider, you know, how you're going to use your money and how you're going to donate it and allocate it when you get older?
I will say, like, when you're at the grocery store stuff and you see that, like, oh, round up to donate to whatever, like, I usually, not going to lie, will say no a lot of the times. But
me too.
Seeing how, like, important it can be to, like, especially, like, causes like this, it makes me more willing to donate and give back money to things like this because they're doing it for a good cause. And so I definitely think in the future I will start donating more because I knew, like, I see how, like, beneficial it is to see someone donate to my cause. So it's like I feel like I want to join that. If someone's doing it for me, I want to do it back to them.
Yeah, awesome. So what's a skill that you've learned, you know, specifically from running this fundraising campaign that you think will actually make you more money or be more helpful in your future career?
I would say definitely communication, because you have to talk to these people that are in charge of, like, so many companies and who have a lot of money. Like, some of these people have a lot of money, and you need to know how to talk to them efficiently and, like, productively so they are understanding your point and still, but still keeping them, like, on task and making sure they understand, like, what the real focus here and what the goal is. And so learning just how to communicate, because it's different communicating to a friend versus someone who owns a business. Like, you need to make sure you know the difference and how to talk to them professionally.
Yeah, I definitely think overall, like, the biggest and most important skill that people say when it comes to careers or anything is communication.
Yes.
Because it underscores everything.
Yeah.
You need that for college. You need that for managing your money. I definitely agree with you.
1,000%.
Yeah. So to finish up, what advice would you give teens looking to get started in fundraising or volunteering? And how do you think it would be beneficial?
I definitely think look for things that are related to what you want to do in your future, because I definitely think that's what making it so much easier for me to fundraise is that because this is so linked to what I want to do in my future, it makes me more inclined to like do more and like actively keep trying every day to get more and more. So like just know what you want to do and like what makes you happy, because you don't want to fundraise just for the sake of fundraising, because it's nice, but like if you're not enjoying the cause, then it makes it a little bit pointless. But like make sure you are happy with what you're doing.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me today, Rosemary. This is WDIY 88.1 Teen Money Matters. Thanks for listening.